Greetings. This is Pastor Steve Atwood from Grace Bible Church. Welcome you to our Bible study today. We're glad that you tuned in, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you today. The name of our program is Understanding Your Bible, and that's the purpose behind our broadcast. We want to give you information about the Word of God that will help you to understand the Bible. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So information we give you on this broadcast is intended only for one purpose, and that is to inform you, to enlighten you, as to how you can study your Bible in a manner that will be pleasing to God and it will also be beneficial to you. And that means is to understand and distinguish between that which was written to you and that was written for you. All the Bible is written for our reading and understanding and learning, but not all the Bible is written directly to us. And the letters written directly to us are the letters of the Apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon. In those books, we find the salvation, we find the walk, the position, and the destiny of the church, the body of Christ. And so as we study here on the radio, and as you perhaps go to the website, we'll give you our website information at the end of the broadcast, or the radio station broadcast, you'll find information on there about rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's our sincere prayer that that information will be helpful to you. Now today we're going to be talking about a subject that is not really very pleasant, but it's a subject that it's very important that we have a thorough understanding of. And that subject is the reality of hell. You know, I listen to radio broadcast most every day. I listen to TV preachers occasionally, and I notice that very few preachers ever talk about hell. Most preachers talk about the love of God, which is a wonderful thing, the grace of God, which we major on continually on our broadcast. But there's also another side of the equation when you consider God and His mercy and His grace. As a matter of fact, all the way back in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being gracious and mercy, but it goes on to say that He will by no means clear the guilty. And so today I want to look at some very simple truths about the reality of hell. You know, some people that take the dispensational viewpoint of studying the Bible do not believe that there is a hell for us in this dispensation, that when we die, we simply die like an animal, go to sleep or whatever. But I want to show you that even though the Apostle Paul never used the word hell, he did teach the doctrine of hell. In Luke chapter 16, we read an account there, and by the way, this is not a parable as some suppose. This is an actual account of two men. The Bible says in Luke 16:19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now, in this passage, we see some very important truths about hell and the reality of hell. And there are several other truths that we see there in addition to that in relation to death in general. For example, number one, we see that there is definitely a conscious existence after death. Some, as I said, have proclaimed the idea that people simply die like animals. They just go to sleep, and there is no life after death. But this account in Luke chapter 16 shows us very emphatically that there is conscious existence after death. Not only that, it shows us the reality and the torment of hell. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He was being punished. He was in a place of eternal punishment. Another thing this shows us is that there is no second chance after death. For those that teach purgatory or preach that you can be baptized for the dead, that kind of thing, this account in Luke 16 shows us clearly, plainly, that there is no second chance. If you die apart from trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, where you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. So it's very important that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and that you're on your way to heaven. And then the last thing it shows is that there is no communication between the living and the dead. There are many people that make a lot of money today by telling people that they can communicate with their loved ones that have passed on, and they talk about talking to those on the other side. Well, this passage of Scripture in the Bible shows us that that is impossible to take place. When a person dies, they are no longer able to communicate with those that are alive. When a person is dead, they're either in heaven or hell, and they are no longer able to communicate with those which are living. So there is a conscious existence after death. There is the reality of torment and of hell. There is no second chance after death, and it's impossible for those that are living to communicate with those that are dead. Now, there are several scriptural facts that we need to understand about hell. Number one, hell, as we read there in Luke chapter 16, is a place of torment. He said he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Not only that, it's a place of fire. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 22, Jesus said, "I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." So we see that that hell is a real, literal place. It's a place of torment, and not only is it a place of torment, but it's a place of fire. Not only is it a place of fire, but Jesus Christ says that it's a place of damnation. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 33, the Bible says, "You serpents, you generations, you vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" So you've heard people talk about hell, fire, and damnation. Well, that's exactly what the Bible talks about. The Bible says that hell is a place where there is fire. The Bible says hell is a place where there is torment. The Bible says that hell is a place of damnation. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 46, the Bible says that there are those who have blessed Israel and those that have failed to do so. And the ultimate end of those people that do not is in Matthew 25, in verse 46. He says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." So the hell, then, is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place of damnation. It's a place of punishment. Not only that, according to the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, we find that hell is a place of terrible sorrow, which tells us that man will have emotion. He will have sorrow, he will have fear, and he will have pain in this eternal state apart from God. In Psalms 18, verse 5, the Bible says, "The sorrows of hell compass me." So there is sorrow associated with hell. In Psalms chapter 9, in verse 17, we find who hell is prepared for. And Psalms 9:17 says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. So the wicked are those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. All men are wicked. All men are sinful. But those that are wicked, those that have not trusted Christ as their Savior, shall be turned into hell. Not only that, we find over in the book of Proverbs that hell is a place that has unlimited space. It is never filled up. There's always room for one more. In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse number 20, the Bible says there, in relation to, again, we're talking about hell, and he says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So hell has unlimited space. It's a place that are reserved for the wicked. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of damnation. It's a place of torment. And it's a place of fire. Now, as I said earlier in the broadcast, there are those who believe that because the Apostle Paul never mentions hell by name, that he never teaches the doctrine of hell. But I want you to notice how that in the Bible, many times, eternal punishment and hell is spoken of without actually using the word. First of all, if you have your Bible there, or jot the scriptures down so you can go back and look at them, in Matthew chapter 18, and I believe it's over here in verse 8. Let me get there. Matthew 18, verse 8. He said, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maim, rather than having two hands or two feet, to be cast into everlasting fire. Notice the contrast there. Life there is eternal life. Everlasting fire is eternal damnation. Another contrast, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. We just read that one. And again, you'll notice the contrast. He says, they shall go there, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So life eternal is always said in contrast. It is just the opposite of everlasting punishment, hell, torment, and so forth. Another illustration of this is in John chapter 3. Very familiar passage, John 3, 16. Verse 15, I believe it is. In John 3, 16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. What is the opposite of everlasting life in the context? Perishing. Eternal fire. Eternal damnation. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5, in verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In other words, again, the contrast there is everlasting punishment versus life. And in this particular instance, it's interesting that he says, he hath passed from death unto life. Now, I want you to notice some things that the Apostle Paul says. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, again, we're considering the fact that the Apostle Paul never uses in his epistles the specific word hell. But he does teach the doctrine of eternal damnation and eternal punishment, and that's what I want you to see. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 21, the Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we just saw back there in John chapter 5, verse 24, that the contrast, the opposite there of everlasting life, was death. You see, when we talk about death, there's something beyond just the physical death or the cessation of life. There is spiritual death in the Bible, and that death has to do with eternal punishment. What did Paul say in Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul very clearly states that God has now manifested salvation. He says, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Well, he didn't abolish physical death because men have continued to die ever since Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth, and he died and was buried and raised again. But what did he say? He said he's abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What death did he abolish? He abolished the death that would bring eternal damnation and hellfire. You see, when Paul talks about an eternity apart from God, he simply makes a reference to it as death. You say, well, how could that be construed as hell? Well, let me show you how. In Revelation chapter 1, there's a phrase that's used throughout the book of Revelation in relation to eternal judgment, hellfire, damnation, and so forth. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 18, the Bible says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys, notice, of hell and of death. Notice, hell and death. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Notice that in that passage, if you're not looking at your Bible, let me just mention to you that death and hell are both capitalized. They are the subject of the verse. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell. And then over in Revelation chapter 20, in reference to the coming judgment, Revelation 20, in verse 13, the Bible says, the sea gave up the dead which were in them, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. You see, this is the great white throne judgment. If we go up to verse 11, there we see, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So when the Apostle Paul says the wages of sin is death, we go over to the book of Revelation and we find at the great white throne judgment that death and hell are cast into where? The lake of fire. So where do those in the dispensation of the grace of God who reject the gospel of the grace of God end up? They end up in hell. They end up in the lake of fire where they're going to burn forever and ever and ever. And the reason they're there is not because they did bad things. It's not because they were smokers or drinkers or anything like that. The Bible is clear that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, the issue today in salvation is not what you do in your flesh, not whether you've joined the church, not whether you've walked down an aisle or repeated a prayer, confessed your sins. The issue today is how you trusted in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. The Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. That means they're not put to our account. The Bible says in Colossians 2:13, he hath forgiven you all trespasses. So you see, it's very simple if you want to escape the terror and the damnation of hellfire and the lake of fire, all you have to do is simply trust in what Jesus Christ has done in your behalf. That is, put your faith and your trust in what He did, not in what you can do. All of your sins are forgiven. Your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you go to hell, if you spend the eternity in the lake of fire, you'll do that because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Now, I want you to consider, as we come to the close of the broadcast today, several things that we've looked at here about the doctrine of hell, the reality of hell. Number one, it is a place of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. It's a place of eternal torment where there is no relief. That man in hell in Luke chapter 16 prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, let him come and just dip a drop of water on my tongue." And there is physical, literal punishment. When I say physical, I'm talking about a soulish body that has feeling, that can thirst, that can think, and so forth, and that goes on forever. Hell is a place of eternal damnation. It's a place of eternal punishment. It's a place of eternal sorrow. It's a place where there are wicked men. Every kind of wicked individual in the world will be there in the pits of hell. And it has a limitless space so that it will never be filled up. But the good news today is you don't have to go there. The provision has already been made for you that if you would believe the gospel of the grace of God and trust in what He's done for you. Paul said the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he said that gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, my friend, on this radio broadcast today, my desire is simply to impart these truths to you because, listen, I don't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go to hell. And all the provision has been made so that you don't have to go to hell. And the fact that you've heard this broadcast today is proof positive that you can be saved, because when a person hears the gospel, that is the call of salvation, and you have the free will to either accept the words of that gospel, Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, or reject them. And so if you've never been saved, I sincerely ask you to reevaluate what is your salvation experience. Was it joining the church? Was it being baptized? Was it repeating the sinner's prayer? Has there ever been a time when you fully, totally, and completely put your faith and your trust in all that Jesus Christ did at Calvary and accept as your Savior, accept the free gift of salvation provided by our Lord Jesus Christ? That's what salvation is. And anything beyond that or less than that is simply deception. And so I pray today that as you have heard these words, that you'll take them very seriously and that you'll understand that God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of everlasting compassion. But He is also a God of justice. And if He would send His Son to earth to experience all the pain and agony that He experienced, and actually allow Him to experience hell for you, He will certainly allow people who reject His Son to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. You don't want to do that, and you don't have to do that. And so I ask you today, put your faith and your trust in all that Jesus Christ did for you and accept Him as your Savior. If you've got questions or comments, we'd be glad to help you anyway. We have no desire to try to get your money from you or try to get you to be a part of something, join something. Our only motive is to proclaim the Word of God, to give you information about what God has told us today. We have the most precious book in the world in the Word of God, and we want you to know about that book. We don't want you to put your faith in some religion or some denominational system. We want you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if we can help you do that, we'd be glad to do so. You can reach me by telephone at 423-847-0768. Again, this is Pastor Steve Atwood, and I'd be glad for you to give me a call, 423-847-0768. Or, if you want to visit our website, it's www.understandingyourbible.com. Our church is located at 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to have you come visit with us. Or we would love to have you visit our website, and on that website there's a link to our email address. We'd love to hear from you this week. Hope you'll tune in again next week for the broadcast. And until then, I hope you'll study your Bible and rightly divide the Word of Truth so that you can fully understand your Bible.